Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have friends and people in my life that I know who I watched, grew up with, and I watched them during their high school years and middle school years. And I watched them make decisions that sent them down a direction that I can still see and connect the dots on even today. As I look at their life today and as I look at where they were in middle school and high school, I can see the line. I can see that connect. Good and bad. I mean, really powerful good things, some hard things. Maybe you can look back on your own life and say, man, there were a couple experiences I had when I was in middle school that I have spent my adult life trying to work out from underneath of, or I'm a beneficiary of. This is a really important time. And just as Chris was just saying, we spare no expense when it comes to investing in the next generation. We just don't want to be like the book of Judges in the Bible, where a generation grew up after us and did not know the works of the Lord. We refuse to do that here. Answer this question for yourself. What is the faith of the next generation worth to you? What would you be unwilling to give up to make sure that they go through their childhood and into their youth knowing and putting their hands on the door that opens to the gospel? What's that worth to you? So I've got a QR code that's going to go up behind me. You can just take out your phones and make a reminder out of this if you want. But this weekend is the Empower Conference. We did it last year, and people came here and they were like, did we do this? Yes, we did this. You did this by your giving. We bring in a lot of the best right here in youth ministry from around the country. We bring them in right here because we believe that in those years, middle school and high school, people make decisions, and it sends them either this way or that way. And so we spare no expense in bringing the best right here for students all over Wisconsin. It's not cheap, but you know what? For us, the faith of the next generation is worth it. So there's a way to give, a way to buy a scholarship for a student. I just talked to someone this week. His parents said, hey, listen, you can do this or Empower. What are you going to do? I mean, a lot of kids have to make that decision financially. And so if you can make a way for that kid to not have to choose, it might change their life. So I wanted to start with that. But let's get into it. Prayer series. Turn in your Bibles to, you know what? Who am I kidding? Let's talk about that game last week. I'm sorry. I just got to bring it up. For those of you that don't know, I'm a Giants fan. I love the Packers when they lose, but I'm a Giants fan at heart. And you brought it up, not me. So you might see my son over in Discoveryland. He's the one with the Saquon Barkley shirt on. Yep, we did that today. Anyway, let's continue. Actually, before we get into the text, other pastors around the Fox Valley are probably into five verses by now. I'm talking about the game. Sorry, not this pastor. Here's a illustration. I want to just unpack this for you for a second. Pretend for a moment that you're in line at Starbucks in the morning getting your coffee, and someone comes up to you, and you realize they're a famous celebrity. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers, while we're on the topic, okay? Somebody famous, and they come up to you, and they're in line behind you, and it's a long line that morning. You guys strike up a conversation. You're talking to this person that you think is like, you've only seen them on TV. They're a big deal. You're talking to them, and it's going really good. Like, you're kind of hitting it off. It's almost like they get you, and you seem to get them, and there's a lot of chemistry there. And so by the end of it, you know, they were like, hey, let's keep in touch. That was really, I enjoy catching up with you. You live around here? Yeah, I live in the Fox Valley. Okay. So you guys end up staying in touch. Exchange numbers, and you get invited to go over to a celebrity, huge deal. This person's super important. No one, I mean, you're telling everybody that you met so-and-so, and they kind of hit it off with you, and you guys are going to hang out. They invite you over for dinner. What are you going to say? I'll pencil you in? No. You're just going to say, yes, whatever day. That works. And then you go over for dinner and it's great and you're hanging out and they say, look, it's lonely at the top. You know, it's lonely at the being a celebrity. It's hard to have friends. I saw you at Starbucks. What if once a week, you know, we just met a half hour early at Starbucks and we just hung out there and talked and caught up. Would you mind? That mean a lot to me. What would you say? I'm not a morning person. No, you would just, of course, yeah, absolutely. And then the maker, creator, God Almighty says, hey, give me a half hour. Let's just talk. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want you to ask me for stuff. I want you to talk to me. And what do we tell God? I'm too busy. I'm not a morning person. Whatever it is, we just come up with a reason to just go through our whole day and then we fall asleep and we're like, forgot to pray. Forgot to talk to God. Why is prayer so hard? Why is it so difficult? Well, here's some personal experience. As a preacher, I'll tell you this. It is harder to pray for a half hour than it is to preach for a half hour. Okay, as whatever you think, however hard you think this is way easier. You know why? You know how I know that? Because I've never gotten halfway through preaching and forgot I was preaching. Like, I have preached some bad sermons, okay? And you know that, don't? Amen that right now. There's new people here, I'm sure. But, you know, I've never been halfway through a sermon and been like, oh, wait, I'm preaching. Hey, guys, sorry about that. Totally forgot where I was for a second. But in prayer, right? Has that ever happened to you? You just forget that you're praying. Prayer, for some reason, it is hard to do, right? And it just blows our minds. Like Aaron Rodgers or any of the celebrities that we would meet, we would move the heaven and earth to just be with them. And then we get to meet their creator and talk to him and be with him and just sit in his presence and we forget. Well, the Bible seems to know that it's going to be hard. The Bible seems to get this. Look at how many verses there are. They put down four or five of them here where it talks about people being devoted to prayer. Look at how many there are. Look at all these. They were continually devoting themselves to what? All these things and prayer. They were, these all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. But we will devote ourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's devotion. That word there, the Greek word, it's like finishing the last several miles of a marathon. It's like pushing through suffering. The Bible seems to know this. The Bible gives us permission that this is going to be hard. It's going to require you to have devotion. I do a lot of marriage counseling or premarital counseling or talk to new couples, and I do some marriage counseling too. But one of the things that when I'm doing premarital counseling with new couples, and one of the things I have to tell them is that, hey guys, it's gonna be tough. You're gonna have to work at it. And you know many times they look at me and go, not us, Pastor. We're in love. We're different. And I say, yeah, you are. It's going to take work, communication, talking to each other. You're going to have to be devoted to it. Don't quit on it. There will be days you don't feel like it. Keep going. That's prayer. That's any good relationship is going to take devotion. And the second thing about this is true. We talked about this last week, that prayer is both simple enough for a child to do, simple enough for a kid to do. It's also profound. You can write a doctoral thesis on prayer and not even get through, scratch the surface of it. You can get a PhD in prayer in the Bible and not even begin to start scratching the surface in prayer. And yet we do teach it in Discovery Land. We believe that God hears them. We believe God can talk to them and they can talk to God. We know it's simple and it's profound. These are so many truths in the Bible that are like this. Prayer is one of them. So my question to you this morning is on the topic of prayer, are you teachable? Do you come to this these next 8 weeks or 6 weeks, however long we're doing this, are you coming to this and going, I have more to learn in prayer? Or are you going, prayer, like that's simple. Everybody knows what that is. Everybody understands what that means. It's simple. It's just talking to God. Are you willing to be teachable and say, Lord, teach me how to pray? So this has been the question we've been asking Jesus as a church. Lord, teach Alliance Church. Teach us as a church how to pray. How do we pray? How does God want this church to pray? That's what I'm asking. And that's what I'm asking all of us to ask. So let's keep going. We're in the passage in Matthew where Jesus talks about it. We did two verses last week. We're going to do two verses this week. We're moving just slowly but deliberately. So here's the two passages that follow last week's. Last week we did verses 5 and 6. This week we're going to do 7 and 8. And when you pray, Jesus says, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So, what does this mean? Well, the pagans, those are non-Jews, Gentiles, and one of the things that they would do is that they would have these rituals, they would have these long prayers where they were trying to invoke a response from God. They were treating him kind of like a vending machine. They're just trying to invoke and extract what they want from God. That's what they did with their words in prayer. Now, Jesus isn't against words. In fact, the very next passage after this, he gives us words. So he's not like, don't use words, and then gives us words. No, words are important. He gives you words to pray. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's the next verse, literally, after the one I just read. But what kind of words are we talking about here? Well, here's one of the problems Jesus is telling us with our prayers. This might be hard to hear, but it's what's going on. He's saying sometimes we're going to pray manipulative words. You know, empty words, babbling words, they're also manipulative. Again, you're trying to get God to do what you want based on the quality of your words sometimes when you're praying. This happens, right? What does God want me to say so that I can get what I want from God? This is the way Augustine puts it. God hears the voice of your heart. He hears what's in here, not what's in here. So your goal then when you're praying is to get this to line up with this. God is looking at your heart. Your words may be over here, but God is staring directly at your heart. He wants to hear from your heart. He wants to know what's going on here. And so what you're trying to do is move the words to match up the heart. This is one way to say it. It's a little bit maybe cliche. Maybe you've heard it before, but it rhymes. It's helpful to remember. Pray what's real. Pray the real, not the ideal. Not what you think God wants you to say. Not what you think God wants to hear. But what is really going on? Pray that. Pray the real. James 4 has some pretty hard words here on this. James chapter 4. He says this when he writes. He says, when you ask, you don't receive. Not because what you're asking for is bad. You know, some of you might even be asking for good things. You're asking for good stuff. But the reason you're asking for it is the reason God's telling you no. You know, you might use it for the wrong reasons. You might want success or flourishing in a certain business venture because it's really about you or your own financial security. And God loves you too much. He loves you too much to say yes to something, even though it's good, if he knows it's going to take your heart and push it further away from where it needs to be or from him. He loves you too much. You know how hard it is as a parent to look into the eyes of your kids when they're begging for something and say no? You know how hard that is? Especially my daughter's eyes. She's going to take all my money, okay? It's hard, but God loves you too much to look at you and just give in. He's a good father. He'll tell you no if he knows the reason you're asking for it. Even if it's a good thing, he's going to tell you no. This is one of the other things that go on sometimes when we're praying these prayers and we are we're trying to manipulate our words a little bit. Sometimes it's because we want God to approve of us. We want him to like us more. We're worried about saying the wrong thing. And I want to be careful because I appreciate the motive. You know, there's a part in the Lord's Prayer where it talks about the hallowedness of God's name. You got to be careful about getting casual with God. He is holy. So there's a healthy reverence there. But this is really important to know. Works-based prayer, works-based faith, where it's about you doing right, the right stuff, you looking good, you maybe trying to earn God's approval by the way you pray. That's a works or merits-based faith. You're praying for God's approval. Trying to say the right words, get the right length of prayer, whatever it is. You're praying for God's approval. Ready for this? This is so important. Some of you, you need to hear this. This will change the way that you pray. Grace-based, gospel-based prayer is you pray from approval. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you. You're not going, you can't change your standing with God. If you believe in Jesus as enough to make you right with God, that he paid the price for your debt and your sin, and you put your faith in that once and for all, you're born again spiritually. That's why that phrase, born again, I know it's gotten kind of weird or mixed up in the last couple decades, born again, but it's so important because you don't get born a bunch of different times. You get born once physically. You get born once spiritually into a new family, spiritually into God who's spirit. And now you look like your parent spiritually because Jesus, who is the one and only Son of God, he has covered over your sin and you believe in him. You're born once spiritually. You don't need to be reborn a bunch of times. You don't need to be recreated a bunch of times. If you have a bad week or a bad month or a bad year or a bad couple years, you're born once spiritually. So when you pray and you're born again, you can't change that status any more than you can change the blood running through your veins. You pray from approval. Man, that'll change the way you pray. Christian, you pray from victory. You pray from victory. God has won the battle. You don't pray for victory, you pray from victory. You pray from hope. It's yours, declare it. You pray for it, it's yours. You have it in Jesus. You pray from, not for. This is so important. That'll change the way you think about trying to get the right words. I'm not saying don't be reverent. I'm just saying don't try to get approval by the way you pray. Second problem we see in this passage here is you really don't know what you really need. You don't know what you need. You know, God, he knows you so well. If you believe, when you become a Christian, that the Holy Spirit of God, God sends the counselor. He sends the counselor right to live. Holy Spirit comes to take up residence inside your heart. And you believe that. He's in every corner of your spirit. And he knows you better than you know you. He is nearer to you than you are to yourself. You ever, my brother and I call it getting honeypotted. When we're on Instagram, we buy something. You know, when you're like on Facebook and all of a sudden you see an ad for something and you're like, how did they know me? I didn't know I needed these 19 things, but I'm buying all of them. Does it ever happen to you? I mean, I'm not gonna sit up here and pretend that I'm some spiritual titan. I think this whole outfit might have come from Instagram, to be honest with you. I am guilty. They know me better than I know me. Why? Because they watch everything I click on. They listen to everything I say. If I start naming off the brands that I'm wearing right now, it'll start showing up on your Instagram, I bet, because they're listening, right? They know us better than we know ourselves. They're sending you stuff that you didn't even know you needed. And you're buying four of them. If they can do it, imagine God who can watch you while you sleep, who knows every secret thing you've ever done. Even no one knows. Spouses don't. People don't know what you've done. God knows. He knows what you've thought about. He knows where your imagination goes when you're just sitting and waiting in line. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows what you need before you even know what you need. And he loves you. And he can do something about your needs. Gosh, wouldn't you want to know what you need? Wouldn't you want to ask him? This is a clunky slide I'm going to put up here next. I didn't know how else to say it. So it doesn't rhyme. It's not as cool as the pray the real thing. But the solution for this is, why don't you have some humility? Why don't you have some humility to ask God what to ask for, and the desire to have him show you, be willing to let him show you. You know, this whole prayer series we're doing, this is based on Jesus's teaching on prayer. And that was the one thing, I shared this a couple weeks ago, that was the one thing that Jesus was asked to teach on by his disciples. It's the one thing. I'm not saying he wasn't asked other things, but this is the one thing recorded that he was asked to teach on. And it's because they looked at his power. They looked at all the miracles he was doing, and they said, what's that guy doing? How does he do that? It's his prayer life. They just connected the dots. They said, well, teach us how to pray like that. Teach us how to pray. That's the power. That's the source of power. And then I bet if Jesus not only, if he could do this, if he could say, well, here's the words, pray like this, here's some teaching on prayer, but then here, I want you to come with me and walk with me, and I'm gonna go pray. I'm gonna go, whenever I go, and I'm always stealing away. You know, Jesus was always famous for being lost. Like, he wasn't lost, but people were losing him all the time. Like, where's Jesus? Well, he's off praying again. He was always out wandering around praying. We need Jesus. Where's the miracle? We need more miracles. Where is he? He's out praying. He's always out praying. Early in the morning, he would go walk around in the wilderness and pray. I'll bet you that if we got to sit and watch over Jesus' shoulder as he was praying, I bet we would be shocked to see how very few words were spoken. Not a lot of babbling going on. I bet we'd be surprised if we listened in on Jesus' prayer life, how much of his prayer life, his prayer time, was receiving from the Father direction, where to go, what to ask for next. I think prayer is a conversation. Jesus, listen, he wouldn't have put this in there if he didn't expect it to be a two-way street. So how do we do this? Let me give you two thoughts. First is this. 15 minutes. Let's just try it this week. I'll do it with you. We'll do it together. Set an alarm. And don't be legalistic about it, but shoot for every day. 15 minutes. Set an alarm. And pray for 15 minutes. Listen, we're supposed to be praying without ceasing, right? So let's at least just start with 15 minutes. Okay? 15 minutes and pray. You know what's going to happen? You're gonna check the watch at 2 minutes. And you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna be all out of babble. You're gonna be all out of your list. You won't have anything else to talk about after 2 minutes. That's gonna happen. And you know what you're gonna have to do? This. You're gonna have to just be in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And would you have some humility in that time? Don't be so proud that you know what you need and that you know how the conversation should go. Why don't you, it's just humility to say, Lord, what do you want me to ask for next? What do you want to talk about? And then wait. Listen, if this sounds spiritual, welcome to church. Okay, I mean, all of our society right now, we're all looking for transcendent spiritual experiences, right? This is part of my theory on why we're so over-sexualized. We're looking for like this experience, this transcendent, powerful encounter. We're into therapy, and I'm pro-therapy. My wife's a therapist, but people are trying to get in touch with their true inner self. We've got all kinds of interest in psychedelics and drugs because we wanna have these transcendent, supernatural experiences. We crave spirituality. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. You're made in the image of a spiritual being. You realize that, right? Like God the Father is not walking around in a physical body. He's a spirit. He is of spirit. He's a spiritual being. That's who you're made in the image of. You're going to want spirituality. And when you get reborn, it's not reborn physically. You're already born physically one time. It's reborn spiritually. So now you have a spirit that is alive and breathing and can engage and talk to God. Even when you read the Bible, what's happening? It's not just brain matter. There's this Holy Spirit is illuminating the text and teaching you. It's the spirit plus text. You're a spiritual being. Welcome to being in a relationship with a spiritual father. So here's how to do this. This is one way to do it. My daughter's in kindergarten now, although she just got her ears pierced last night, so she's basically 29 in her mind. But she's in kindergarten, and she's going through, she's learning how to write right now. She's learning how to write. So I'm going to give you an illustration here that kind of talks about this. So as you learn how to write, if you can remember, one of the ways that you're supposed to do this, thank you, sir, appreciate it. Thank you. So one of the ways you learn how to write is you're supposed to trace the lines, right? So the teacher gives you something that looks like this, and your job is just to go and try to trace the lines, the little dots, and don't deviate. Now, everybody's got different handwriting, but the truth is you have to start here. This is where you begin. You can't just go and learn your handwriting style, and handwriting styles are awesome. They're really great because that's why we have fonts. I mean, logos. That's why, like, businesses and churches have got cool fonts. It's art. It's beautiful. And we're glad. No two handwriting is the same. You're going to have your own. And it's you. It's personal to you. And that's good. And you need to discover that. But you got to start. You got to start just learning the basics of the words. Listen, for most of us, when it comes to prayer, let's be honest, and I think there's a lot of people in the room that would say this, we don't know how to do this thing. This is hard. I'm new to this. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to talk to God. 15 minutes, that's like an eternity. That's for the super Christian out there. Listen, my question to you this morning is, do you want to or do you not want to? Do you want to have a powerful, flourishing prayer life or no? Because if you do, you're going to have to be devoted. You're going to have to stay the course and keep working at it. Don't quit on it. You're going to have to keep working at it. But the second thing you're going to have to do is you have to be teachable. Some of you need to, like, if you want to get good at prayer and you want to be a prayer, you got to start over at the beginning. You got to put your pride aside and say, Lord, teach me how to pray. And he will. He's going to say, okay, I want you to start at the basics. Start the basics. Trace the lines. These next couple weeks, we're going to go through this Lord's Prayer. I've abbreviated the first couple pieces of it here. We're going to go through this line by line. We're going to go through this as a church. We'll get through all of it. And I know what you might be thinking. You're like, if I just pray the Lord's Prayer, I don't want to be just reciting it as like a ritual babble, empty words. No, here's what you're doing. When you start at the basics, you know what you're doing? Jesus never meant for it to be like, pray this exactly. He gave it to us as a template. In fact, Luke chapter 11, where he says this, where he says, pray like this, he says, pray like this. It's a template. Pray like this. Write it like this. This is just a template. Don't pray it exactly like this. We know Jesus didn't pray it exactly the same way every time. We had different prayers too. He says, pray like this. So it's a template. But when you're new, a new Christian, or when you're new to prayer, and you're learning, and you're having the humility to start over at the basics, I would say this. Why don't you just try it? Why don't you just trace the lines? And here's what you're doing. Remember, God's not looking at your words. He is looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. Jesus knows that. So when he gives you words, he's saying, here's where I want your heart to go. So when you're tracing it, you're trying to get your heart here and go, okay, I need to begin with my relationship standing with God. I'm your son. My identity is in my sonship in you. It's my relationship first that I already have because of what you did on that cross for me 2,000 years ago, Jesus. So it's my relationship with you. And then it's who you are. You are holy. You are other. You're really nothing like me. I refuse to let my prayer life get casual. Get casual and careless with God. I refuse to do that because as much as I am his child, this does me no good if he is not the Almighty, Holy God. This is not nearly as powerful if he's just my buddy. No, no. No, he's holy. He's God. And once I let that get here, man, it changes. It changes what I'm gonna ask for next. You know, Lord, what do you want me to ask for? Well, once I know who I am in him, and once I know how holy and sovereign and enormous and unspeakably good and powerful he is, then really, I want his, not mine. Man, I if this is who you are, this is what I want. I want your kingdom, not mine. I'm beginning with the fact that I don't know what's best for me. You know what's best for me. You know what's best for me before you ask. So you know what my first request is? Can your kingdom please? Can your will please? Not mine. Can your will be done? Look at this, 50%. Just listen, hear this. Every word in the Bible is inspired by God. So is the order. So is the sequence is divinely inspired. You can't skip this. You can't skip this. This is the order. It's divinely inspired by God. And if regularly 50% of your prayers have nothing to do with your name, your kingdom, your will, well, it's no wonder. Do you even feel good when you pray this? I need this, 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 this. Amen. Do you even feel better? Does that even make a difference? No wonder you don't really think prayer is really that effective. Because when you start here, you go, man, I don't want my prayers to change your mind if this is who you are. I hope my prayer doesn't change your mind. In fact, I hope this time with you, God, changes my mind. I hope it's your will. If you skip this, or you only do this, or you only do this, this is a system. This works together. Jesus said, this is prayer. He didn't say, this is prayer, amen. He didn't say that. No, he wants you to ask. But he wants you to pray and ask like this. He knows what you want, not you. He knows you better than you do. One way you could look at it is to pray like you know God. And then pray like he knows everything. Pray like he knows everything. And your job when you pray is not to change his mind. Oh, not when you know who he is. It's actually, God, change me. Bring more of your will and your kingdom into here. In a moment, we're gonna spend some time worshiping together and just try to move this truth from here to here. And you need to focus. You need to be devoted at doing this. That's what prayer is. We're actually praying while we're singing because it's about him. It's to him. It's for him. And then what's gonna happen in us is that it's gonna move truths from here to here. So I've asked the worship team to come back out and to lead us in that. But I wanna just close with this thought here. Do you ever go to... you ever go to like a wedding reception or something? You ever go to like a rehearsal or dinner or something? And you get stuck at a table and you get stuck next to that guy. You know that guy? I'm that guy. I'm just kidding. No, that guy is the guy that's just, you know, this is why you don't like wedding receptions. It's boring and it's just small chat. And you're just going over the same old questions. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you think about this couple? You think they're gonna make it? I don't know, maybe you don't talk about that, but I do. And you're talking to this person and it's just boring and you're just kind of like trying to get out of it, and then you get out of it and they walk away and you walk away, and then someone comes up to you and they say, you knew who that was, right? Do you know who that was? And you go, no, I have no idea who that was. A boring old person. That's who that was. No, that was so-and-so. And you go, that was so-and-so. And you go, yeah, they own the whatchamacallit. They own the whatchamacallit. Yeah. And they work with so-and-so. And they work. And you're like, oh my gosh, if I would have known. Man, if I would have known that was them. I would have asked him 1,000 more questions. I would have, oh my word, I was such an idiot.
I made such a fool of myself. I would have looked him in the eye. I would have talked to him. I had so many questions. I can't believe it. I blew it. That was them. That was them. You know why prayer's hard? This is why prayer's hard. You don't know. You don't know when you close your eyes and you fold your hands. You don't know who you're talking to. You know who that is? You know who that is? You know how much they love you? You know what they lived through? You know what they gave up? To have you, to lead you, to shepherd you, to be your comfort and security. Do you know who you're talking to? You know why you need to read this? Do you know why you need to go and get into a study or talk to people who know God? Do you know why you need to know this book and be in this book? Is because you need to know who you're talking to. You don't know who you're talking to. Do you know what happens in those 13 minutes of silence when God speaks to you? He speaks to you. He reminds you who he is. It's not weird mystical voices in your head. It's God speaking to you, bringing the truths of what he's already said in scripture of who he is, who you are in him, the promises you can declare over your life, the truths you can stand on, the wisdom you can have. It's bringing it back into here. Do you know who you're talking to? This is why we do this. This is why we read this. This is what it's all about. It's to get to know. And I believe this, if you really knew who you were talking to, you would never want to stop. Let's stand, church. Heavenly Father, in a moment, we're gonna say some words. We're gonna sing to you. Lord, would you use our words and our lips to bring our hearts back to what is real and true about our reality, what we have access to in you, the Almighty God, that we are your children. We can, just like kids, we can go running and get in and get all the way in and close to you and talk to you and ask you of things. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, even if it means tracing the lines, starting over from the beginning, getting back to the basics. Teach us to pray, Jesus. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.